Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, October the 20th, 2009. And this is our 106 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and hello to everyone. Welcome back. And got a continual influx of information and insight that continues to arrive in our hearts and minds through a method which we'll discuss today a little bit.
Well, we never seem to know where it's going to go. And before these recordings, many times or sometimes I ask Michael, do you know, I didn't say it today, but do you know what you'd like to talk about today, Michael? And Michael goes, no. So we just start and take it from there. But last week, you were mentioning about your neighbor, Mrs. Wong, and why she replaced her window. Andrea wrote in wondering, or just trying to follow the story, and maybe you could just give us a little touch of it again.
Well, one of the important factors is that she was coming down on another beam of light, blue light, being conveyed down on this beam of light back into her bedroom window, which is the window that was replaced with a window which was above her height. You know, basically, if she stood up in that room with that new window, she wouldn't be able to see out that window, that window that was replaced. It was removed, and a smaller one was put in its place and left up higher. Apparently, there was a very lasting impression that was upon her that caused her to be motivated enough to go to the expense of having professionals come in and replace that window. And it only bears some thought, perhaps, or curiosity, or just personal conjecture on your part to try to wonder why, why it was so important that that be done. And what I was saying bears some. Repeating maybe, and what I have said to others is that this kind of a thing that happened to us, for me to go and to tell you a story of being first of all introduced, or simply to have met and worked with these beings, you know, and if I can give them personality and make them seem more like just regular people, which is how I ended up, you know, going away from the situation. They're people. Is a terrifying experience, period. Just to have gone through an experience, even if being made to forget, such as what happened to my neighbor, she came down with the most blank look on her face, I mean, absolutely blank, and placed back into her room. Even with that, there is this lingering terror, perhaps, of an unexplained encounter. And it isn't the most friendly thing to have gone. It's not the, you know, it's terrifying, and it's what happened to her and for myself initially. It was indeed a terrifying and traumatic experience, and it rapidly turned around as I got to know who these beings were, and I come away from the situation with a most wonderful understanding of who they are, and have taken that time, and I was given that time to get to know them. So this is pretty much basically the point that may have been overlooked, but indeed the situation like that is quite traumatic, and can leave unknown, perhaps for her it was unknown, as far as a perhaps some kind of a psychological, subliminal, unconscious remnant of a traumatic affair that she bear a constant impression that it came from that window, or it was associated from that window. So that's all I had to say about that. You know what I mean, Curtis?
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, especially when people think there's no such thing as anyone else except them.
Yes.
And then when you see there is other people, and them look very strange. Sort of.
Yeah, well, yes.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it was, for me, when I first saw, I believe it was Tan, and then it was Nella. Tan left because I was getting really afraid, because his face is really red, you know, really a kind of a reddish color.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of traumatic. It was terrifying in the beginning. And it quickly resolved itself when, of course, I have said this before many times, in which Onisea Juan, Nella, she simply said, "Don't be afraid." I said, "Michael, don't be afraid." And a flood of love poured within me, and it just simply erased all fear and terror, mistrust, and many other negative things. And it goes on with the concept of these types of influences that we bear in our lives that really don't have a root or a solid core into our present paradigm of relationships, of how we live our lives and build our relationships one with another. They have a wonderful higher level of building a relationship, and it's one that is a truly wonderful place to be, even if they may look out of this world, definitely not human. And indeed terrifying, if we were to allow that to take its normal trajectory in our hearts. Terrifying experiences. Instead of that, it's quite the other way around. So that's the story there in terms of this sideline note, which I really didn't mention much on because it was a sideline knowledge.
Well, maybe for Mrs. Wong next door, she just didn't realize what out of this world really looked like.
Well, yeah, and this is what a ministry or mission I am on, is to help us relate, because we are growing rapidly toward a time of celestial introduction and intervention. It's been done on the sly, you might say, as it was with me. It wasn't, you know, wide open, wasn't given my free agency of memory to, you know, just remember everything until the times were correct. Interestingly enough, at the time I liked the song, and it was something to do with Bye Bye Miss American Pie. And Nella erased that from me. And she said she'd bring it back when the time was appropriate for that song to be sung. And it's been this year. This is the year that I finally remembered the song, really what it really meant, and the words, and why it was hidden. And of all things, we find ourselves surrounded by the threat of our currency being debased to become very much less than what it is today or yesterday, and find itself being completely, you know, destroyed, or the old concept of the American, you know, as American as apple pie, the American way, all of this being going bye-bye. And basically that's a way which I find that they have used with me to warn me, and to also, you might say, comfort me, to know that because it was known and given to me, they don't expect myself to be, or just, you know, thrown blindly into that situation. Instead, my eyes are essentially open, and I have been making certain adjustments in my life in order to be disengaged from the system. And it's not an easy thing to be disengaged from the supposed American pie, the system. Yeah, Curtis, you're pretty well disengaged. You got heat your home in the winter with firewood. It's almost like going back to the log cabin days.
Well, you live in Maui.
Well, yeah, for me. Well, I don't have to worry about heating my home, you know. But, you know, I was made aware of things like people freezing to death. I didn't know, you know, about that in terms of people today freezing to death simply because they're so intertwined with the system. Have no way of, saying, oh, if I can't afford heating oil, I can't afford something to heat electricity, or whatever it is to heat the home that is directly connected to the economic system. And they get somehow, you know, gone broke or something like that. Can't really stay warm in the winter and freeze to death. Whereas, of course, if they were had more of a disengaged kind of a mentality, where they don't want to stay fully engaged, and always find ways to go circumvent that problem, ends up finding resources close by them that allows them to do that. I remember even one person saying something like he loves his junk mail. Junk mail, he'd always roll it up into a nice log and he'd burn it.
Oh.
So he said it got delivered at his doorstep. I mean, actually in his mailbox. And that would fuel some heating things. And it gets delivered to your home.
Yeah, well, newspaper doesn't seem to burn very well if you roll it up.
Yeah.
It just...
Well, whatever he did, but he was quite pleased with that concept. But anyway, the point that I'm making here is that as we look down toward the future and see where things are going, if we remain engaged in the pressure that I feel, and again, this pressure that I feel has been upon me for a few years, that I should find ways in which to disengage from the present system so that it wouldn't be so traumatic if things, become hard to continue because of one thing or another, whether it be economic or natural catastrophes, which are mounting, and they're mounting up quite quickly.
That seems around me within, it seems the houses around here are huge. And a friend of mine, her ex-husband lives in a house with huge amount of square footage and with a $4,000 heating bill that he's looking forward to this year that he wasn't even warm at that price. So the house is way too big, and more than one family could live in it, I'm sure. But this happens quite a bit, and when I was living in Hawaii, people were asking me, is it true people freeze to death in their cars? And I would tell them sometimes they get stuck and unprepared. And then they'd say, but we also heard people freeze to death in their houses. And yes, that happens too. Sad to say, but the community really helps out. You can, the power companies will help you heat your house, or the community will if you have financial difficulties. But not everybody confesses to those difficulties. It's tough up here in the north, and up in Massachusetts or even Quebec. We have listeners up in Canada, and it's a lot colder up there. It's warmer in Maui, but it's cold in Canada.
Yes, and it's not without its problems, and one of the ones that I'm keenly aware of here, living here, is that they're sort of nice to think you could be on a tropical island. I have a recent acquaintance came in from down towards Christmas Island, sailed in over here, and was talking about what they live in over there. And it says, the historic grass shack of Hawaiian style, mm-hmm. Historic housing here. It was quite common until the turn of the 20th century,
Mm-hmm.
That was seen all over the place, but they had walls, so a roof plus grass shack type walls. And I said, where he's at down there, it's a little warmer, it's close to the equator, and all they have is a roof. They have open, mm-hmm. everything's open. So it's a mosquito net or stuff like that. But it's, that's all he says he lives in. He's quite happy that way. Operates his ham radio station and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And living simply off the ocean and the land, mostly on the ocean. And it's not the safest place because right now it's things are changing so that I've never heard of tsunamis that, devastate, the islands down there. Samoa recently, of course, had some pretty bad devastation from earthquake, and mostly from the tsunami that kind of flooded the place.
Mm-hmm.
And some areas pretty much wiped them out and cut off sections of the island. For ourselves, here in Hawaii, we've seen it historically, but we've got a good warning system. and we know what to do. It's been educated, part of the educational system here. And we know exactly what to do when we see something like water receding below its normal low tide mark. We go the other way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, these things are happening more and more. Recently, just been monitoring the Pacific or the Tsunami Center, you know, Oahu, and it's much more often than before. And this is a trend that is happening. There's also some interesting things that are happening as far as solar radiation, and that our UV indexes are pretty high. I've noticed that on my ham radio, I'm picking up a tremendous amount of celestial noise. The noise is good, but that noise is also an indication that cosmic energy, cosmic ray, or whatever you want to call it, are making their way down to the troposphere, and right where we are living here, because the ionosphere isn't as well charged by the sun anymore. It doesn't form a very, very dynamic and good shield as it once did. And there's this insidious a problem coming around. And more importantly, there is some other strange occurrences in terms of our global governances that are making some quick changes going on here. And that is all part of a dynamic plan. Hidden one. It's becoming more and more evident.
Well, Nicola from Massachusetts, he writes in, and he said, here's something I've been thinking about, Michael. When you say tan goes into the body suits, are you referring to his whole physical body, or does he transfer his whole consciousness into the human body, thus leaving his alien body behind sitting there? Well, I wrote back to Nicola and I asked him if he was talking about his clothing. And he wrote back and he says, "Hey, Curtis, I'm asking Michael if Tan transfers his mind only into the human body, or does he physically go inside the human body with his body?" That's his question.
Yes. So what happens there is that there is a soul transference. This isn't an important thing. When I talk about soul development, it bears its knowledge base on this fact. One of the biggest problems and insidious ones that have plagued our planet is life and death. The concept of life after death and all of this stuff. Well, we're at the very one of the very important, most important origin points, which is one of the more one which is natural, DNA-based origin points of life and sentient life, life capable of moving past its origin form and to take on one in which it can bear transference. Transference of consciousness and of essentially life and personality is one which is held mostly in the religious circles. But one in which the celestials work with is no longer within that grasp. It is something that is real. It is done often, but it is in a way beyond our understanding, done in a technological means. See, one of the things that the Lucifer Rebellion did was trying to make this idea of life transference an automatic process, a process which just happens as a progression of life, and that it doesn't really matter. The Egyptians tended to understand a part of it, but didn't really fully know how this worked. But indeed, their sarcophagus really looks, in a sense, like one of those chambers in which soul transferences takes place. Now, the body which is used primarily as the primary home remains in a dormant state. Goes to sleep, you might say. And the body which is able to absorb or to bear the transferred soul and spirit, intellect and consciousness of the transferred in personality is of special order, special type. And apparently, having this body that Tan is able to use is a special privilege that he has. Mm-hmm. It's not given to every celestial. Most of the celestials themselves are very much aware of the fact that their bodies are limited in lifespan, can be renewed and regenerated, but because of the technology of soul transference, they know that that will continue, life progression will continue, and it is continued on the fact that the individual, you know, is part of the holographic governance, the governance that is works without laws, as far as the letter of the law, more of the spirit of truth, and this interface to the spirit of truth, and it's that which makes the concept of this automatic resurrection as being false, as a Luciferian lie. So the concept of automatic idea of reincarnation and all of this is a deceptive form of this idea of moving from one body to another, or going from one incarnation to another. Again, the mortal incarnation is the starting point. It is a very important starting point. From here we gain a tremendous amount of growth, and the most amount of growth that possibly can be done, we want to do it. We want to do it within this mortal body, so we should look forward quickly to, you know, being disengaged from the physical body. We should look toward fulfilling as many of the changes required in our understanding, our concepts of who we are, our not only our belief systems, but the structure of our soul between ourselves, the thought adjuster, and really becoming a truly divine being, essentially becoming a universe child, a divine citizen, child of God. And that is accomplished here right now in the body. And that makes soul transference possible. And it's one of the reasons that when I heard Tan's voice, it sounded, well, everyday human. However, his personality was directly reflected in the way he spoke and what he said. Not so much the voice that was carried about, because he probably was wearing his human suit on, which is not a perfect biologic suit. It's more of one which is created to look like a natural human being. So that's my answer to Nicola, and like I said, it's not something that is not, you know, ordinarily allowed for every you know, alien person to mm-hmm. to have that option.
Do you remember those photographs that Riley's hypnotherapist was taking photographs of Riley in the darkness before a session? The dogs were barking in the outside, and was probably a saucer outside, but there was a power failure at the same time, and Riley just said, just point the camera. She had several cameras. Just point the cameras at me and snap the pictures. And you could see Tan's body going into Riley's body.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that part?
Yeah, I remember that part.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But that's...
The more times an individual goes through this, the more solidified the personality, transferred personality is, you know. But it doesn't become diluted, you know.
When Tan was in Riley's body, did he have any influence over who Riley became?
There is, well, it's normal, and you know, if you have someone who is considered having a very, you know, influential type of a personality, you know,
mm-hmm.
has definitely you know, can bear some changes in your personality, and you know, that's on an external sense. But if it becomes one in which is deeper, tends to have a much stronger influence. It also gives Tan a more of a understanding on Riley's personality too.
Well, I never met Riley before he had that experience with Tan, so I didn't know what he was like beforehand. But I often wonder what influence Tan had on his. On Riley's personality, you know, who Riley became before I met him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Riley is Riley, so he's who he is. That's not something that, you know, I noticed that if we could, they could change our personalities and make us, you know, all nice people. I mean, more than just turning us off and then giving us a blank look, you know, making us forget or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could, you know, arrange a whole lot of things, but our free will and our ability to choose, direct our own lives according to what we see as individuals to do the right thing is something that they do not interfere with. They may, you know, be required to, you know, make us forget, you know, a certain situation. But it definitely is something that they don't interfere with, is who we are, mm-hmm. mind control and things like that. That's something that Lucifer had a lot more to do with. He wanted to do a lot more with mind control and controlling masses of people. And this is something that the remnant of his leadership who remains here, this one, Kalagasya, that is still influencing whoever would, you know, want to be influenced by him. And they gain the advantages of his resources that he can point them to. As a result, you know, there is some reason that some people really like to stay hooked up with him, you know, because it, you know, seems to be a good thing in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but it rapidly evolves into really realizing how dastardly this type of not technology, but way of doing things is. You're truly evil.
I hear some music off in the background.
Yeah, well, that's this guy is playing this, testing out their system. Apparently going to have a concert and play concerts here. Yeah, old football stadium back here, and they got this multi-kilowatt system that they're running pretty strong right now.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well, they're aiming it toward me, so yeah, they're opening it up pretty loud because they're about a quarter mile away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Richard from Sacramento, he writes, "Hi, Curtis and Michael. I've been inclined to hear the recent discussion about a secret government on Earth in terms of a transcendental influence led by the personality or personalities outside of ourselves. Might you actually be talking about our collective and individual egos inherent from Caligasta and Deligasta? I don't know if I pronounced that, Deligastia. And our unwilling and broadly unexamined attachment to survival fear. In the spirit of Aloha, Richard from Sacramento.
Hi, Richard. That's a good point to bring to light. It's very timely, in which presently they're getting very desperate, these two individuals, Caligastia. These individuals, their names, representing their roles as the Estias. The Estias are a level of ruler, and they rule originally under legitimate rule. However, right now they rule in the hearts and minds of those who are willing to function under their guise. Open guidance by them is the deeper guidances are rewarded. Real rewards come from them, and these rewards take the form of materialism, seen. The super rich, people like that have secretly made these commitments to these individuals, not necessarily knowing them by name, but knowing them by the results of what they've gotten. And they have, many of them have unwittingly becoming, they are being played to be contrived or to be a part of the system of control of men's hearts and men's wills and minds beyond the norm. In other words, playing as a chess game. Curtis, you say you're playing a chess game and there's a certain strategy involved. Mm-hmm. Well, they're playing a chess game with the human race. Mm-hmm. And as many of those that are willing to play on their team are rewarded. Believe it or not, Jesus Christ himself was offered not just to play on the team, but the whole ball of wax, the entire planet Irancha was offered, all of the kingdoms of it, and all of the developed resources in the human race, if Christ would lay off and basically let them go on. And it was offered to Christ. Of course, that was not the reason in which Christ came. It was the exact opposite reason, which was to shut down this method of governance, this insidious, divisive, deceptive method of rule. Christ came to bring the holographic or the divine governance, the one in which doesn't contain all of this insidious, hidden, and manipulative lies that are contrived and devised using basic human weaknesses of fear and of the fear of death and fear of loss, fear. Fear has no place in the kingdom of the celestial abode. It's quite without that. But on Earth, that's a great tool to use, and they've been using it well. And right now, they're realizing because of the events, the celestial events, as far as the Earth events of how the planet is behaving itself. That the time is short, and they've got to start pulling in their timetables to try to finish up their proposition. Their proposition being that they can create the world governance, one world governance that will function in a method that is acceptable. But it ultimately, because of the shortness in time, they cannot accomplish it. But no amount of human slaughter is going to stop them from trying to persuade their case and argue their case in terms of the development of their plan for complete rule and civilization under their method as a form of successful planetary governance, apart from the method of the universal governances or the celestial governances or the governances of biblically concerned as the kingdom of heaven.
Well, Caligastia and Deligastia are found in the Urantia book.
Yes. Yes. These are planetary ruler types, and one absorbed as beings of particularly particular sons of light, actually. Their being and their structure is very similar to light, you know, if you ever see them. But they are highly telepathic, highly influential if you want to listen to them, and are nothing but a manipulative bunch of liars, and have been and will always be that way, because they've been given a chance to turn around, and most of their troops, believe it or not, who served under them, have decided that they were the right way. they were a bunch of crackpot loonies when it came down to running a planet. All they had to do was, look, you're making everybody kill each other and fight each other. You talk about that as developing a planet, and these other beings have gone out, and you see their work. They help create wonderful things in some ministries, in some churches, their ministries, and miracles are there because of the influence of these other beings, many of which at one time served under them, but have turned from that idea.
Sounds like quite a bit lined up with what's happening on this planet.
Well, that's exactly why I'm stating it, because their influence is not ended. Their orchestration of events is sometimes, it seems, beyond normalcy. You know, when you look at the concept of conspiracy and all of this, the truth behind all of this conspiracy is really their intervention, their orchestration of the affairs of humans for the purposes of the distinct distinction of being deities of their own accord, having the right to of sovereign rule, which they have been deposed of, and it's not going to come true, because apparently there's just too much involved and embedded in the human race that is akin to and closely aligned with the holographic governance, the governance that is basically one which is based on love.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'd like to experience the type of love that Nella and Tam presented to you, especially Nella.
Yeah, but any amount of it really is somehow given a resource of wonderful flow of energy. It can be this flow of energy that comes from, you know, basically the a celestial circuit, a holy circuit, circuit, a spiritual circuit, is real. It's been typified and worked with many people, and but it really finds itself in the spirit of the spirit of God, you might say, a spirit of Holy Spirit, a spirit of truth, you know, spirit of love, spirit that emanates from first source. And it has been tapped by people, human beings, and priests, orders, who've used innocence, human sacrifices, to bear open a bit of it once in a while. They noticed that you're able to, at that point, find a flow of this wonderful life energy when innocence is killed. So these human sacrifices were a way of stealing God's blessing. Because God's blessings are with the innocent. And innocence is a wonderful thing that he doesn't want to lose, not once. And sometimes evil is overflowing would hit that. And what we'll see is bloody kind of ritual. But what those who are receiving this are stealing what is freely given to any one of us who want to be on the side of the celestial holographic governance of love, is being illuminated, a divine fractal within us by the spirit of truth. And being so thirsted for, you know, they have no need for the material things. Then they start thirsting for what we possess, but not with the with the responsibility and the control, I guess you might say, of the divine sources.
Mm-hmm.
They have stolen some of that through these types of horrible rituals of innocence. It's been practiced here in Hawaii, and some of this human sacrifices, some of the old, what they call heiaus, and these beings that tap off of that innocence are still running around. They're nice people. They're not nice agents.
Well, speaking of people from Hawaii, Father Damien from the island of Molokai, he was granted to be a saint by the Pope.
Yeah,
I'm sure you heard that in Hawaii.
Yes, it requires that you know, some kind of a miracle that is, I guess, verifiable.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest miracle that Father Damien did was to just live and be with these people, lepers, the term Hansen disease people, and to simply love them with his whole life. And of course, there were some spontaneous recoveries that unexplained, but that's why they had to really realize that some of these things that did happen were remarkable and miraculous. But the greatest miracle of all in a human being in their exposure to horrible, disfiguring neural disease. Actually elevate all of humanity to a level of being more civilized.
Now there's a bronze statue standing in front of the Hawaiian State Capitol building, Honolulu, of Father Damien. Every time I drove by that, I always looked over Father Damien.
There's something that a lot of people don't know, but there's a little sign in which we call the Shaka sign. If you form a fist and then extend your thumb out and your baby finger out, extend them out and then wiggle it, rotate your wrist, that's called the Shaka sign. And the individual that started that was a wonderful, very friendly man who had lost his fingers as a Hansen disease patient. He lost four fingers, so he only had his thumb and his baby finger. And when he waved at people, he'd wave by, but he wouldn't have his three fingers. He only have two fingers, his thumb and his baby finger. His middle three fingers were gone. And he was such a wonderful person. People started to imitate him. And he'd always say Shaka. And basically what Shaka meant was, you're shocked, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have fingers there. Shaka. He'd wave that way. And it became a way of saying, oh, you're right, you're okay. You know, and if you wave back like that, you accepted his disfigurement. And it was a way of him getting, you know, past all of that. When you look at some of these, I've seen them. Some of them have literally bitten off their lips, so they look funny. Yeah, they never really have. You could never have felt anything. They lost their fingers. Never knew that they, cut them off accidentally or things like that. But anyway, that's a little bit of unknown history there.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. That's a beautiful story, once again, from Hawaii.
Yeah, that story was told by a TV personality who was one who popularized it. It was they show old movies on there, and it was he used to sell used cars. His name was Lippi Espenda, and he told that story. Later on, the mayor of Oahu, mayor of the county of Honolulu, Frank Fossey, popularized it.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah, he took that. It was a little, really, really popular. I'm just like you guys, I'm okay. But really, when it came right down to it, it was really from a very humble, very friendly person. And if you liked him, you got to know him, and you'd give him the Shaka sign back.
Mm-hmm.
And never mind if you bit your lips off and you got a, disfigured face,
Well, I remember during the election time on Oahu that people would stand on the corner supporting one of their one of the people they'd like people to vote for, and they would hold signs and just wave at everybody going by. And you'd go from intersection to intersection with these people holding signs and then waving. That doesn't happen here on the mainland, but it was here on the mainland they just have signs sitting there, no one waving, but in Hawaii, I thought that was just so beautiful. I don't know if they do that anywhere else in the country, but They certainly do it there. Michael, would you like to do some open lines for next week?
Open lines?
Well, just to have the phone line open for anyone to call in. I don't have an assistant to screen out calls that aren't for you. But we could just take potluck and see if... do you want to do that? Because sometimes it interrupts things, but...
Yeah, well, you can have that, or, of course, yeah, that would be interesting. I know people have emailed in ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and, well, if, you know, that work. I know we've had some people call in at one time.
We tried that.
We had a much smaller audience at that time.
In the beginning, we tried that. Well, I'll give everyone the number. It's 609-397-8446. That's 609-397-8446. If anyone wants to call in next week, just give us a few minutes to get started. Maybe hold off in calling until like 10 minutes after the hour.
And what is the hour?
The hour may be changing on the mainland. Let's see, isn't it the last week of October?
I think so.
That we change? So, well, maybe this isn't a good idea, I don't know. But
well, when you get the proper time, then, you can, of course, advertise that time. So next week you could, call in East Coast time. What would that be?
Well, that would be 17:10. It would be right now. We start at 1800, but is that right? Yeah, we're going to fall back. So it'll be 5:10 in the evening.
Yeah.
East Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try that and see how that works.
Okay. Well, that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. And, Nicola said he was drinking his ozone water before he left in the morning. And since we have a minute or so here, I can say that anyone who wants to go to Sota Instruments, that's SOTA.com, they can... SodaInstruments.com, I'm sorry. And the number for Hello Earth is CA50145. I have that at the bottom of a lot of those HTML pages. And you can purchase an instrument from them, a water ozonator, for 10% off on your first one. And but those water ozonators, they really clean you inside and out. And do you want to add anything else, Michael, before we close today?
Well, it's one of the most simple devices around. It has one of the most beneficial kicks in it. Ozonated water, really. My daughter. Young pilot says, "Oh, it feels like when we put on our oxygen mask." Yeah, she said, "Yeah, it feels just like that when we get that extra boost of oxygen."
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happens with the ozonated water. As it's being absorbed into the bloodstream, it breaks back down to oxygen, and there are some free atoms of oxygen running around. But the oxygen takes the blood, gives a little bit of boost in there, and is killing a lot of the pathogens that cause us some difficulties. I know it helped me overcome some when I was over in the Netherlands, Amsterdam. I sat right next to a guy coming over from London. This guy was really sick. And if it wasn't for ozone water, I might have gotten sick myself.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like I was coming down with it, but then it quickly terminated.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, there goes another hour, and we'll talk to you next week and have... We encourage people to write in with comments or questions, and I'll have the other phone line open to see if we get any phone calls during the hour. And we'll have a little different hour next week. Okay,
okay.
Michael. Well,
okay.
Time to say aloha, so
aloha.
See you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Aloha. Bye.